Good morning. Now, I'm going to start off today by asking you guys a question. I want you guys to raise your hands and answer. Don't be shy. Who here thinks they're really strong, like physically, very strong? Yeah, we have some people raising their hands. Josh? You think you're strong? You think you're strong? Like, you think you could curl, like, what, 15 pounds? You think you could curl 15 easy? Yeah, you think you could curl 20 easy? No, you say yes. Yes. That's good, because come up here real quick. Come up here. I have this bag. Weighs about 20 pounds. You think it's pretty easy for you, right? Yeah? Curl it. No, you're supposed to curl it. I know you guys were clapping, but he definitely didn't curl it. And this little illustration has a reason behind it. Josh claimed that he could do something. He was really sure about it. And even some of you guys might have believed that he could do it. But when it came time to back up his words with actions, he failed, which made it all meaningless. I'm not trying to be mean, Josh, sorry. But as Christians, we need to back up our words with our actions. See, next time, if I'm at the house, and I'm lifting heavy things, I need someone's help, Josh is going to be the last person I ask. Now, we live in a world today where a lot of people will say things, make claims, and we don't really know what's true. But there are some people that we trust more than others, and that's because their actions back up what they say. And as Christians, we need to be the same way. We can't just go around saying we're a Christian, saying we have faith, and then we go out and live like the rest of the world. Turn with me to James chapter 2. We'll be starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. James is telling us in this passage that being a Christian doesn't just entail having faith. You have to have actions too. You can't have one without the other. It's really easy to say you're a Christian. All it takes is moving your mouth and letting the words come out. You look at verses 15 and 16. You have the example of someone that's poor, in need of daily food and clothes. And if you say to them, oh, I hope you get better, but you don't do anything to them to help them, you're just saying something but not actually trying to make it better. It's a lot harder to act like a Christian and walk the walk instead of just talking the talk. Someone can tell me how strong they are. Josh could have told me he could bench press 500 pounds, but if he doesn't show me it, what does it mean? Have you ever met someone that you were surprised to find out they were a Christian? And this is sad, because you've known them this whole time, you've seen the way they act, and through all the time you can never see their love of God. And this makes us think about ourselves, right? Because we start thinking, am I the same way? Are people surprised when they find out I'm a Christian? And you could think to yourself, oh, I'm not doing all the bad things they're doing. But it takes more than just avoiding bad things. You also have to go out and make sure you live a Christian life. We also don't want to compare ourselves to people that claim to be Christians but don't put their words into action. We want to compare ourselves with God's standard, which is the Bible. As Paul says, we want our deeds to show our faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible, because you have this group of people that really thought they were going to heaven. They thought that they were saved. They went around saying, Lord, Lord, proclaiming they were Christians. But then when the day of judgment came, God said he doesn't know them because their works never showed their words. And this is where a true Christian comes in. A true Christian doesn't just say they're a Christian. They go out and they do things that show it. Let's face it, anyone can believe in God. The evidence is everywhere. All you have to do is look outside, look at the trees, look at the sky, and most people will say there's a God. In fact, a 2018 study showed that 80% of Americans believe in God, and 56% said they believe in our God, the God of the Bible. And that's great, right? That means most of us are going to be saved. I wish it did. But like I said, it takes more than just faith to be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Wait. If the path to eternal life is small, then how do over 50% of Americans believe in God? Well, there's a difference between believing and putting into action. What separates those that are going to go through the narrow gate are those that take God's word, say they're a Christian, and then show it with their lives. It's really easy to live a hidden Christian life. It's easy to come to church once in a while and say you're a Christian, but the true Christians go the extra mile and live a life like Christ. And this is where the challenge comes in for a lot of people, because they see God's commandments as a burden on their lives. They think being a Christian entails not doing what you want to do and having to do things that you don't want to do. They say that God's commandments keep you from having fun. You know, you can't drink, you can't curse, you can't lie. But God has a reason for all his commands. And some people, they go around thinking that God is trying to stop us from having a good life. But the opposite is true. God's laws are saving us from hurting ourselves and other people. Because we can't drink, we're always in our right mind. We're not making poor decisions out in the world. Because we can't curse and lie and a lot of other things, we don't end up hurting other people by our words. We can't think that we know better than God, because that's going to lead us to sin. God has his commands in place for a reason, and they're to make our lives better. Another reason people shy away from really living the Christian life is because of the standards that come with it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it reads, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this verse you see a lot of traits, virtuous traits, like knowledge, self-control, godliness, love. These are kind of high standards. You also can look at the fruit of the Spirit, which are named earlier in Scripture. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and a lot of other things. These are really lofty goals. And people look at them, and they look at the Christian life, always trying to strive better. And a lot of people are scared of it. But have you noticed how rewarding living a Christian life is and putting these traits into your life? We need to stop thinking that because we're Christians, we have to do these things. We have to start thinking that we get to do these things because we are Christians. Because they really help the way we feel, and it helps others around us too. When you treat people well and do God's will, can't you just feel God's joy? You feel a good feeling from doing that. Now, I know it's hard, but the reward comes back infinite times fold. We need to go out into the world and act like Christians, and by acting like Christians, people will know our faith. How great would it feel if someone came up to you one day and asked if you were a Christian because they had seen your actions, instead of them being surprised when you tell them you're a Christian? Wouldn't it be good if someone came up to you and asked, oh, Stephen, why don't you cuss? Or why weren't you at that party last night? Or something like that. And you get to tell them, oh, it's because I'm a Christian. That's allowing your deeds to show your faith. And there's not a better feeling in the world than living the Christian life and the rewards that come with it. And they can see your faith and the way you live, and now you've planted the seed. And they'll continue to see by the way you live what a Christian really does. Actions speak so much louder than words. So I encourage us all, as we go out into our week and the rest of our life, to truly live out the Christian lifestyle. Look at God's word and see what he wants us to do, because it's all for our own benefit. And the Christian life is extremely rewarding, as I already mentioned, and we are blessed to have it. And at the end, we're going to get to heaven because Jesus has came down and made the action that allowed it to be done for us. He came down and died for our sins so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus wants you to be saved so that you can live with him and enter through the narrow gate and live the Christian lifestyle. If you want to make this step, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Good morning. Today, I will be talking about faith and fearing God. As we are seeking to building God's kingdom, we sometimes face difficulties and trials, which will make us feel discouraged. When this happens, and what we will learn is that we must have faith in God. In fact, God often allows us to go through trials and tribulations deliberately in order to test the faith we have in him. This morning, we will see how Abraham and Isaac both had faith and fear in God. Let us start by opening up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 3 through 8. Genesis chapter 22, verse 3 through 8. And it reads, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, 'Abraham, father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and the wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went off together." Faith is believing in something you can't see, but you know it exists. When we are looking at faith, faith is like the wind. You can see its power and its effect, but you can't see it. We see Abraham had to have faith just to go up onto the mountain to sacrifice his son. I would think that most of you guys would have a hard time sacrificing a child, maybe your only son. As we will read shortly, Isaac could have fought his father and resisted, but he had faith in his father, which he would have to have a lot of faith in him to go and prepare to sacrifice him. Personally, I would try to do anything to not let somebody try and sacrifice me and not go down without putting up a fight. But he had faith in God. Now, the fear in God. Abraham and Isaac were both put in positions to have fear in God. Let us read verses 9 through 12. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear the Lord because you have not withheld me from your son, your only son.'" It says right there in verse 12 that the angel said that he knows that Abraham feared God. The fear of the Lord refers to a fear or specific sense of respect, awe, or submission. In Proverbs 1 through 7, it reads, "The fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of God helps us obey him and submit to him. As we see, God has provided for Abraham, and he keeps on providing for him in verse 13 through 18. Let us read verse 13 through 18. "Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide.' and it said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations of earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. If you have not put your faith in God yet and been baptized, what are you waiting for? Today is a great day to do it. God will provide. If there is anybody who has any need this morning, please come to the front as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.